You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Right, good morning, everyone. So, as some of you will know, me and the family recently returned from holidays. After a five-year gap, we visited the place in France where we have visited on and off for about 15 years. We worked it out. And it was so lovely to be back there. We visit with the people who own the place that we go and visit and who feel more now like friends than sort of the people we rent from. And they had us over on, I think it was the first Saturday night, was it? First Saturday night, and it was really warm, and there was this, they've got this lovely sort of patio area outside, and she cooked this amazing sort of French five-course meal out under the French sky, and it was beautiful. And it was also good to visit with the kids who were a bit older, because we had visited all of the towns around where we go when they were much younger, and probably, you know, it was a case of Lindy and I wanting to go and see the places and kind of, you know, encouraging the children to come with you as you went around and saw all these places. But this time, they were so much older and they wanted to, it was like we were visiting these towns for the first time. And one such place was called Saint. And it's a city of great history. And it's known for its Romanesque architecture. It's on a river. It has an old town, stunning buildings, it's beautiful. And we visited Saint on our last full day in France, so the day before we were doing the big drive home. So, and the other thing about Saint is that it's quite dispersed, and it's the places you might want to go and visit are on all different parts of the city. And so to walk around there can take quite a long time. And, you know, there's cathedrals and magnificent law courts, an old theater, and this stunning gladiatorial amphitheater, which was one of the biggest outside of Rome at the time. And it really is quite something. And so we were looking forward to seeing all of this, but we had limited time. So I was thinking, how do I get around to all of these places in the time that we had? And what we'd done a few days before is to visit another one of these towns. And I'd seen in this other town what's called a tourist train. And it's not a train at all, but it kind of looks like a train. And it's electric train type thing and has some sort of carriages behind it. And you jump on that and it takes you around. It does all the legwork. So I think I have a picture of it. So that's the train, okay? So you jump on that, and 100% electric, and then there's all these carriages at the back. And there we were. We were ready for action. And I thought, this is it. This is great. We will get to see all the sights, save the legs, and be back for lunch. It looked kind of fun. And at least for our family, because this is not the way we would normally go and visit places, it was a bit novel. And I also love presenting surprises. I don't love being on the receiving end of surprises, but that's another story for not for today. But I love like creating a surprise for people. And so I parked up and I said, right, let's go to the office to tourism and get the map, because I knew that the train left from there. So they didn't know, kids and Lindy didn't know anything about it. And then it was like the big reveal. It was like, hey, gang, check out this train. And they were like, yeah, that looks fun. And so there we were. We were amped and ready to go for Sophie, maybe the most enthusiastic at the start, let me say that. But we were ready for fun, we were ready for the train, and it was all good. And so there we were, looking forward to a fun-filled hour of sightseeing. And we were off. And quite quickly, I began to dislike it. And as the tour went on, I really began to dislike it. I hated it. And I was like, what's going on here? This is... But it was like a visceral feeling in me. I was like, I'm hating this. And it's like, this is... I was having this conversation with myself, internally, thankfully, for everyone else. I was like, this is not a normal thing to get so upset about. And I'm like, I'm really, really disliking this. And it was quite good for what it was, in one sense. There was an English guidebook because the audio was all in French, but they had given that. And the city is stunning, and we were seeing the sights. But I was like, oh, I'm really, really not enjoying this. And as we stopped momentarily outside this stunning cathedral and then drove on from it, and I managed to get a bit of an awkward photo through some dirty perspex. You know, like the photos aren't nicely positioned, you're kind of driving past them, you know, it's like, oh. And, you know, you're like, you're seeing, and, like, yeah, there's this thing in between. You can see the reflection there. I was hating it. And it hit me. I was seeing everything and experiencing nothing. I was stopping ever so briefly near to each monument, but equally far away, enough away that my view was obscured. Someone else telling me what I should listen to, what you should look at, and never once stepping out of the train and entering into the beauty of some of these places, the history and the life of the place. And it hit me again, and I think this is that visceral sensation that was going on inside of me. It was like the Holy Spirit said to me, this is actually what people's faith journey can become like. Our journey following Jesus can become, if we're not careful, like sitting on a tourist train. And it doesn't always happen out of some intentional turning away from the Lord. Life gets really busy. We start to have more and more responsibilities. Jobs get bigger sometimes. Families get bigger sometimes. And more things... We have more things to do, and our time gets squeezed, and our capacity is maxed out. Maybe also for some of us, life hasn't turned out as we hoped. And we find ourselves now living a life we never expected to. And that can be overwhelming. And when all of these things happen, and like I said, it's not that they are necessarily bad, they're just the things of life. We can find ourselves maxed out, just managing to hang on. And when it comes to our journey of faith and life in Christ, bit by bit, the tourist train approach to following Jesus can start to look more attractive, can start to look more doable, more feasible. And amid our busy lives, the tourist train that we jump on once or twice a week for a whistle-stop tour can begin to become alluring. But it's not as it should be. What happens is that our life of following Jesus can become contained. It can become manageable. It's an hour on particular days. It's someone else telling me what to do and what to look out for. And that can really have some appeal in our lives. I get it. Yet I fear that this tourist train model, attractive as it may seem at the time, often results with the sensation that I had at the end of the actual tourist train tour. The seats proved to be less comfortable when you first sat down. And I made quite a lot of dad noises getting up off the seat and out of the train. I knew something about the place that I visited, but I hadn't experienced it, not lived it. It's kind of like when you're really, really hungry to the point where you can't even think of cooking a nutritious meal and a lovely meal that you like, and you just suddenly, whatever your favorite fast food, put it into your story, pops up and it just becomes this alluring thing. And you're like, oh, I can smell the Mackey D's fries and the burger and the shake. And you're like, even though it takes actually longer, you jump in the car, you fly off to Mackey D's, you put the order in, you get the shake, the fries, the burger, and you woof it down. And it's like, oh, that hit the spot. For about the first half an hour. And then the satisfaction begins to fade and the grease begins to float. And you wish you really hadn't have had that extra large shake. You wish you hadn't maximied everything on the order. And half an hour later, you're hungry again, and that feeling of satisfaction is gone. The tourist train can be a little bit like that. And you know what? We don't want that for any of us. I don't want it for myself, and I don't want it for anyone who's a part of our community. And I know how in different seasons in my life, I've found myself sitting on that exact train, gradually falling asleep, but not knowing what to do about it. And I don't want that for any of us. What I want for all of us is an experiential journey of following Jesus. The scripture calls us to a life centered and structured around Jesus Christ and following him. And I don't want any of us on the tourist train, but rather I want all of us to be stepping in to that cathedral we go by. And you go in and you can feel the atmosphere. You can feel the temperature change as you enter into it. You can see the beautiful stained glass windows. You can hear the echoes of that kind of space and structure. And you can know the presence of God. But you only get that when you enter in. You don't get it from behind Perspex, stopping for a moment and getting an awkward photo. James 1 puts it this way, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not know what it says is like someone who looks at their face in a mirror and after looking at themselves goes away and immediately forgets what they look like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. And the person continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You see, James expresses the heart of it here. This is not just about information, it's about formation. This is a lived out faith that is very real and experienced. And this is what Jesus wants for all of us. That's what we're called into. That is the invitation and what's on offer to us this morning. And this is what we all want for all of us here at Jubilee Church Farnham. Yet we also need to avoid any sort of triumphalist sense of following Jesus. I don't know if you know what I mean by that, but sometimes the picture can be painted that a life following Jesus is one victory after another, of continuous breakthrough, of constant miracles, and often hidden just under the surface, it's not often explicitly said, a life that gets easier and easier. And I think that version of following Jesus is as defeating as the tourist train version. Life simply isn't like that. Life is hard and often full of seasons of suffering. And yet that is exactly where Jesus calls us to follow him. He doesn't call you to follow him in any other life than yours, and yours right now, with whatever's going on in your life right now. And I know in the room there's seasons of suffering going on. There's seasons of sickness. There's seasons of joy. There's seasons of victory. But it's not someone else's life where this happens. It's your life. It's my life. And it's right now. Because we can know Jesus. And this is his invitation to you this morning. We can know his joy. We can know his victory. We can know and grow in him and become more like him. In the reality, in the sorrow and in the joy of the life that you and I are living. You can have an abundant life in Christ, which happens exactly where you are today. And that's not some idealist view of an upward trajectory to a life that gets ever easier. And it's also not succumbing to the passive tourist train model where you jump on, someone else tells you something about something, and an hour later you jump off. Life is more complex and changeable than a singular upward trajectory to an ever-increasing life of ease. And at the same time, we are called to more than a passive tourist train model of following Jesus. And so this morning, we want to help each of us discover a bit more of that life we're called into. Something, help us to do whatever we can as a community to follow after him in a more lived way, in a more experienced way, in a way that we encounter him in the life that we are living. And so we want to invest in our midweek groups and as a community help us on our journey of following Jesus. So from the 9th of October, we're going to be launching a course across the whole church called Practicing the Way. You may have heard of it. You may have heard of John Mark Comer, who is its author. He was a pastor of a big church in Portland, and has now pulled back from that and has spent the last 5 years developing this course. And it's designed to help followers become, let me rephrase it, help followers of Jesus to develop ways of living, habits and practices that help us to build our lives around Jesus and follow him. So let me set the scene for you so you can get a sense of what this is going to be like. We will be running the course at Waden Christian Center on a Wednesday and a Thursday evening. And the format is quite similar to Alpha. There'll be tables with snacks on. There's a video to watch and a time for discussion. And for those who are not currently in a group, and I know we've been through a season up until this point where people have joined the church and haven't been able to find a group because groups are maxed out. So for those people not currently in there, it's a perfect opportunity to come along, get connected into community, meet people, develop friendships, all the while learning about becoming more like Jesus. And the strap line for the course is be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what he did. You heard Sean mention that a couple of weeks ago when he was doing his Visions Sundays just after the summer. So let's take a quick look at a video which gives you a better sense of it. And if you want to do that, Sean, yes. Okay, so Is there any point hotspotting or that?
I can try, but I think we just weren't.
It wasn't working earlier. Right. We're just going to try a bit of hotspotting, and then if that doesn't work, we'll just carry on. So in essence, I'll give you a summary. The Practicing the Way course, they describe it, John Mark Comer describes it as an introduction or a primer to spiritual formation. And it's designed to help followers of Jesus be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what he did. And it's an 8-week course that brings together a number of topics to help you follow him. And so I think we're probably not going to get there. I think we're not. Okay. So we're going to do this as a community together to experience more of what it means to follow Jesus. Right in the midst of our busy lives, we want to be people who are with Jesus, become like him, and do what he did. There is a companion guide that goes with it that can either be printed or you can have it on your device. There are also lots of interesting digital tools if you want. There's this kind of spiritual reflection that you can go on, and it asks you lots of questions and tries to give you a picture of perhaps where your spiritual life is now, and things to practice in between each session. So we're going to be running this on Wednesday and a Thursday night, starting the week of the 9th, 10th. That's the Wednesday, Thursday of October, so in a few weeks' time. So some practical information for us all as we begin this. So if you are already in a group and those relationships are well established and important to you, then you can come along as a group and form a table. The tables are probably going to be between 6 and 8 people. And if you're in a group and you want to come along with those people, feel free to do that. Equally, if you're not in a group, or you might be happy for a season where like, oh, okay, well, this is a great opportunity to meet some more people that I haven't connected with for a while, just come along, find a table on the night and see how it goes. And people will be free to choose the tables that they want for the first couple of weeks. But then we would encourage people, for like on Alpha, encourage people to settle down with a table, that it stays sort of stable, a stable table, over that time, so that people's friendships can develop over that time. Because the discussions on the table, you're going to be talking about various things through the 8 weeks. So I think there's something that can happen in that time, and that would be great to do that. We're going to be engaging our current growth group leaders and the elders and others to be table facilitators. So there'll be someone on the table. They give us prompt questions to ask. So it's all very helpful. And as we progress through the course on the table conversations and practical activities, we're hoping that those friendships and new relationships develop among the church. And if it works out, as so often does on Alpha, that group on that table want to continue meeting together after the course is finished, then that's great. There's no pressure to do that, but if that happens, and what we often find on Alpha courses is after the, I think it's 10 weeks on Alpha, people are like, oh, we love doing this. This is great. Can we carry on meeting? And so that will be an opportunity post-course as well. So from the week of the 9th of October, which is a Wednesday, our midweek groups will pause, and we will be going on a journey together as a whole church. We'll be running it on Wednesday and Thursday to allow choice, and for those that have children, to perhaps enable parents to attend on different nights if they so choose. So the course lasts for 8 weeks, but we're also integrating the course with some of the other events that are happening around the term concerning our mission leading up to Christmas. And Sean's going to talk a little bit more about that when we do the notices just now. So it's not going to be every week. It won't be meeting on half terms, or it won't be meeting when there's another town-wide event. But basically throughout the term until Christmas time, we'll be meeting together, either doing Practicing the Way or encouraging people to join us on the town-wide events as they happen. And there are... Okay, let's give it a whirl.
Dallas Willard once said, "The greatest need facing the world today is whether those who are identified as Christians will become disciples or apprentices of Jesus." And he said, what we need for this to happen is a curriculum for Christlikeness. At Practicing the Way, we've spent years working with churches to create an ecosystem of resources that work together to make a curriculum for Christlikeness, a pathway for spiritual formation. Our resources work in church communities of all shapes and sizes, from megachurches to house churches, to midweek classes and small groups, to a few friends around a table. The best place to start is the Practicing the Way course. This is our core resource. It's essentially a primer on spiritual formation. Over 8 sessions, we cover what it means to be an apprentice of Jesus, spiritual formation, the practices of Jesus, and more. The entire course is practice-based and designed to be done in community. And it walks you step by step into crafting your own rule of life for the modern era. Our intention is that the course would lay the foundation for a life of apprenticeship to Jesus in the modern world. And the course is the best on-ramp into our ecosystem of resources. From there, we offer 9 practices, ancient Christian disciplines like Sabbath, prayer, fasting, solitude, and more. The practices are 4 weeks long and include teaching, conversation, and weekly spiritual exercises, all designed to integrate the practice into your ongoing life. Together, the course and the practices form a rule of life for the modern era, a way of living that is conducive to deep transformation. We also have books, podcasts, and digital tools for those who want to go further. And all of this is available for free, thanks to the generosity of the Circle and friends from all over the world. Our dream is to see formation integrated into the church at large and to see people be with Jesus, become like him, and do as he did.
Okay, great. We've got the other one as well. So that's John Mark Comer and his introduction to the course. So, some language there might not be so familiar. So the practices, you might know, perhaps an older generation would talk about the spiritual disciplines, but the practices, these are things that they have looked at when investigating Jesus' life, the things that he did in his life. So Sabbath and prayer and fasting and hospitality, and we'll be coming to those in the new year, and we might well be looking at through those as a church as well to help us develop these habits. The rule of life that he spoke of, it's really drawing on a monastic tradition, which they would talk about the rule of life, and it's not a rule as in, you know, some nasty thing that someone else tells you what to do. It's about taking the practices of Jesus and crafting for yourself a way of living for yourself so that you can follow Jesus. The terminology is drawn from the monastic tradition, but it's really about you working out how you might structure your following of Jesus in your life. So just want to be aware of the language that's being used there. But these are the topics for the 8 weeks. So the first one is following Jesus. The second 2 are formation part 1 and formation part 2. And by the way, this is like the heart of my research project on for my PhD. And so I've gone through it. I really am drawn to the materials and the way that they're approaching formation. I think it's really good. So it looks in those 2 parts of formation, that formation is never neutral. We're always being formed into something by something to become a certain type of person. And so formation doesn't just happen in the spiritual life and in the Christian life. Formation happens also when you're out at your workplace, when you're watching TV, when you're reading books and magazines, and all you go to the shopping center, it's all presenting you with a picture of what the good life looks like. So formation is happening all the time, and they present that really well. Then they look at briefly at the practices and introduce them. Finding God in pain and suffering. Great week. Healing from sin, crafting a rule of life, and then life together. What does it look like? So I'm really encouraged by this. I'm looking forward to doing it. It's not a silver bullet answer. It's not going to be the thing that it might be for some of us, but we're realistic about what this is, yet it's very helpful. It's not the answer, but I think it's helpful as we follow him, and I would encourage all of us to engage with it as much as we can over the coming term. So each week we explore these topics on your table. So just think about that. Tables, some snacks, getting to know people over 8 weeks, and you're talking about these different things, different topics, and the experience of those topics in your life. So what will a weekly session look like? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we do have a video that is going to give us a brief recap summary of what it looks like for each session and each week.
What does like a session look like? You know, we talked about how there's eight different sessions. If you're gathering people, what does a typical gathering look like? And I think that it follows a consistent pattern in four parts: gather, reflect, watch, and discuss. Gather, reflect, watch, discuss. So first, gather. You know, people are going to arrive at some sort of space, wherever you're creating it, in a home or a church building or coffee shop or whatever it might be. And after participants arrive, begin with a time of connection. Like before you just press play on the film, take time to enjoy like a meal together, or just a time of catching up, or snacks, or whatever it might be. Like this time of connection is really key, you know, to get the most impact from the Practicing the Way course. Participants need to engage in community and take time for connection, because that will set the stage for trusting relationships where the deep work can start to happen. So first gather, and then reflect. Before starting the film, each session, take time in their small groups. So get them in small groups reflecting on the previous sessions, exercise, and ideas. And we recommend this happens in groups called triads, like small groups as small as three, where they can be more personal and share. And then after a time of reflection, time to watch. Press play on the video. It might be on a screen, it might be on a laptop, could be on an iPad, whatever the setting is. But press play on one of the eight 30-minute videos that anchor the Practicing the Way course. And then fourth is discuss. During the videos, there's going to be a moment in the middle where you press pause. You can break into small groups. Groups of 3 to 8 is what we recommend for a time of discussion. And we've prepared for you some prompts and discussion questions to set the stage for great, meaningful conversation. And then at the end of the film, there's optional further time for processing and discussion as well. Let me show you what this looks like kind of like as an order, so you can see what the night looks like. You can kind of see it here. You know, participants arrive first, and then somebody would get up or sit across the table and welcome everybody. You could open in prayer. And then there'd be a time of meal and hospitality and connection, however you choose to do that time of connection. And then some discussion. This is where we process the previous week's practice in community, and that can be 10 to 20 minutes or so. And then there's part one of the video, and then you'll pause it and then break back into discussion groups, and for another 15 to 30 minutes, take some real time to process. The time of the process depends often on the nature of the group, but also the size of the group. And so you'll be making some decisions along the way, exactly how long that needs to be. And then there'll be a second part of the video, followed by some optional discussion. And then at some point, pull everyone together and wrap up the gathering with a prayer. And in the guide, there's a prayer that we've written that could serve you, or you can end in a different way as you see fit. And I guess I want to state this, like this sample schedule, it's just like a baseline framework. Our hope is that you feel empowered by this framework to follow it as a path, or to adjust the times and the format to best suit your community. Our instinct is to help you, and you know what's best for the community that you serve. And so use this as a baseline, a guide, and then allow yourself to contextualize it as it works best in your context.
Right. So that hopefully gives you a flavor of what the weekly gathering will be like. And so we're going to send out some information over the coming weeks. And next week, when Toby is going to be elderized, which will be great, and we've got Andy LaRue coming in to be a part of that and the laying on of hands and commissioning of Toby, and he'll be preaching. But part of our Sunday next week will be a sign-up Sunday. And so before we head back now into a time of worship, I have a task for all of you to do before next week. So homework. So my task for you, and I'd really ask you to consider this, is firstly, decide which night you're going to join. Think about also, are you coming with your group, or are you happy to come along, rock up, pick a table, and then see how it goes? Husbands and wives, hopefully I don't need to say this, but I'll say it anyway, talk to one another. See which night is possible, and if possible, for both of you to be able to come, one on the Wednesday, one on the Thursday. It may not work, and if it doesn't work, that's fine. But have a chat with each other. Talk to the people you need to. Think about what works for you, and then come next Sunday ready to sign up. We're going to be at Waden Christian Center. It's going to be really nice. We have opted for the snacks option and not the meal option, just so managing expectations there, but there'll be some snacks on tables. The production quality of the videos is really high. It's excellent quality stuff, and the content is really, really good. So I think it's going to be really helpful for us as a community, and I believe this course is going to help all of us follow Jesus. Help us connect with each other, and a new season for that. And I think we as a church need that. That a new season as people have joined us and have found, it's been tricky to find a spot in community groups. So as we come into this place, perfect opportunity to get to know new people who have joined the church, great opportunity to come and be a part of us and get connected in. And all of this is happening with a vision of being with Jesus, becoming like him, and doing what he did. So if I can have the band back up, and shall we do the notices after worship, Sean? Will that be okay? Yes. The band's going to come back. We're going to come into a time of worship. So I hope that this is going to serve us well. Each of us, and this is, and take this, engage with this well, even over this week, and reflect and see how do you want to enter into this course over the coming weeks. It's entirely optional. We'd encourage everyone to do it, but with that desire to become more like him and do what he did and be with Jesus, I'd encourage all of us to prayerfully reflect and see how you're going to engage. So as we worship, please come and take communion. Again, as I say, no need to rush. Have a time of preparing our hearts in worship. But then when you're ready, please come and take communion. There is free-from sort of gluten-free bread at the back and then normal bread at the front. So let's pray. If you're able, why not be upstanding? Jesus, we hear that challenge in that quote that was given at the start of that first video, Lord, that those who identify as Christians, the biggest challenge and the biggest question is, will they become disciples or apprentices? Lord, thank you for the journeys of faith that we have been on and are on with you already. And as we begin to launch this, we pray that you use it to be helpful in our lives. You use it to help us be with Jesus, be transformed into his image more and more, and to do what he did, Lord. We want to structure our lives around Jesus Christ, the one who is our Savior and our Lord. And I pray, Heavenly Father, it's just a tool, but it's a tool that you can inhabit and empower and use in our lives. And I pray, Holy Spirit, work in your gentle way in our hearts. Speak to each one of us as to how we will engage in this course in the coming weeks. In your grace and in your mercy, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.